Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
In the news this morning in Philadelphia, according to police, a 17-year-old is charged in the shooting death of a 12-year-old boy. This is in the West Oak Lane section of Philadelphia. This 17-year-old underage facing third-degree murder, involuntary manslaughter among those charges, according to police. So they say this all began midday on Saturday. Officers responding to reports of a shooting. This in a home on the 1500 block of East Pastoria Street. Police say they found the 12-year-old boy suffering from that gunshot wound. It looked like it discharged just one time. And the 12-year-old, identified as Ethan Parker, rushed to the hospital where, tragically, he died a short time later. So Parker was with the 17-year-old as well as a 15-year-old, according to police. And they believe that they were producing some kind of a music video. And so they say that there were guns present as they were shooting this music video. And one of the guns went off, apparently a la Alec Baldwin of Rust. I don't know. I mean, that's what it sounds like. This was, it's from all accounts, it sounds like they were trying to shoot a music video reenacting some things. The gun accidentally went off, fatally shooting this 12-year-old kid.
I know we have a lot of music aficionados on the show. Maybe we could play the guess the genre of music game that they were shooting for. I'll take pop music for 100. No? Okay. A country music. No. 80s. No. How about hip hop and rap for 1,000? Nick, you can't say that. Yeah, I can. Yeah. Yeah.
You better get Phil Almquist. Ask him some rock and roll.
Yeah. Did Biggie or Tupac get killed today in music history? I'm just wondering.
I believe Slayer. Was it Slayer?
Slayer. It was a Slayer video.
So we're following that story for you. We have Hamas saying Edan Alexander from New Jersey. So technically it's a local story. Mm-hmm. Last living American hostage in Gaza. We know will be released as part of the efforts. I know, sorry.
You need something?
This is my voice, you guys.
Yeah.
It's all weekend, my Mother's Day weekend. But we will be talking about Edan Alexander today. Hamas saying in a statement yesterday, so we don't know when that release will happen, but certainly the announcement comes shortly before President Donald Trump visits the Middle East this week.
Yeah, so. I saw the headlines that... And I think it was Axios and another publication, another outlet out there saying that they were, the way they worded it, and it was multiple outlets, that they were giving Trump a gift, throwing Trump a bone here. I don't know what exactly that means, what they receive, if this is, you know, a deal where, okay, here's the last American, now what do we get in these ongoing, never-ending peace discussions with the Middle East? But I thought that was pretty interesting. But there are still, I think if you were... If you said this correctly the last couple of weeks, Dawn, we're still over, is it 180 or 240 was the last count of alleged alive hostages?
Less than that.
Okay, less than that.
Tragically.
Okay.
The ones, because they know from the hostages that have been freed how many have passed away. And so that's, I mean, it's mind-boggling to think about, but... For him, he's the last American hostage believed alive in custody.
And that was...
And he was, remember, he was out of high school from New Jersey, graduated high school, and had gone over. So he has spent at least two birthdays, right?
Right.
That he's...
well over... Well over, what, 540-some days, I think, was the last count we had.
It's just sickening.
Yep.
And so the headline, though, this morning is not really about Edan Alexander bringing him home, the hostages. The headline grabber this morning, New York Times, everybody, is what Greg was alluding to. And that is this big, luxurious palace in the sky, the super luxury Boeing 747-8 jumbo jet from the royal family of Qatar, whatever everybody wants to call it in the media, Qatar.
Corrupt regime. How about that?
they are.
This is where, until fairly recently, Hamas headquartered, for example, in the Middle East. So the media this morning, that's the huge headline, that this gift is expected to be announced this week when Trump visits on the foreign trip of his second term, obviously. He had toured the plane, which they're calling a flying palace.
It's remarkable. Two things on that front. One, I've never understood why we do any business with Saudi Arabia, right? I mean, we talk about the corruption of China. You talk about the corruption of Mexico. Whether it's any administration, Democrat, Republican, any professional sports league, any entertainment industry. You guys know I'm a big wrestling fan. The WWE always goes over there every year and does a pay-per-view with these savages. And the people that attend, I'm not criticizing. I'm criticizing the government. And then for your story with the news here with the New York Times, you think about Trump's week that was, all right, and what he has scheduled this week. And I'm not dismissing the plane. But could you talk U.S.-UK trade deal Thursday? How about India-Pakistan ceasefire Saturday? How about China-U.S. trade deal on Mother's Day? How about Trump's visit to the Middle East tomorrow or Putin and Zelensky to finally meet on Thursday? And they go with Trump and a new flight.
Flying palace.
Not to dismiss whatever shenanigans could be at play here. Right. $400 million planes just don't get gifted usually. At least they've never fallen into my lap. Except for the one I rejected from Stalker.
Thank you. Yeah, I was going to say, I offered you ones at 602 and you both declined.
So. I got a Honda Ridgeline. I'm good.
Yeah, sorry. All
right. But we have Piazza Honda. We don't need that.
The problem, too, is that the Pam Bondi has done some lobbying work for Qatar. Cash Patel has done some lobbying work for Qatar. Ooh. We know Jared Kushner has had business deals with that area. So the whole thing stinks.
Oh yeah,
it stinks. The whole thing stinks. And if you say anything else, you're a partisan hack. The end.
I agree.
So we'll see if he accepts it. He has not accepted it to date. So we'll see.
I don't know. His Truth Social post pretty much said he's accepting it.
So we'll. But he hasn't physically.
Okay.
So we'll see.
He should not accept it.
Even Laura Loomer came out, and I thought, oh, boy.
I saw her
tweet.
Did you see? Oh, God. She would take a bullet for him, but this is a bad look.
I love you.
I would take a bullet for him.
Yeah. I mean, look,
Seek help, sister.
I'm not a fan of her, but, you know, I mean, I'm not saying I'm as a... There's far more important things to talk about than that, but, yeah, she's not wrong, although... Yes. I don't think she would take a bullet for him. I think she would run for the hills the first time a gun was pulled out of a pocket.
Road Warrior says, Nick's foreign policy revolves around the WWE.
That's right. The New York Knicks, I think. If Phil Omquist, either the Knicks or the Brooklyn Nets, they have, it's either Qatar on their jersey or Abu Dhabi. I know they're different. But, yeah, they've got some sort of Middle Eastern destination, a little patch on their jersey. It's disgusting the way we do business with some of these nations.
So we got that going on. We'll talk about the big China deal. So that's the big story this morning, as it should be, reaching a deal with China.
You know what's going to happen. The details are going to fall right into your lap at 10 o'clock this morning.
Right?
Get ready to start rolling in the back, boys. Details coming as Dawn gets closer to her show.
The deets.
Yep.
And we also have the FAA confirming the latest system outage, yes, out of Newark Airport again, and this was Mother's Day morning, Sunday morning. They're saying, and this is the local angle, unlike the previous two that they blamed on Philadelphia and the Philadelphia hub, the Philadelphia facility here that controls Newark Liberty's operations, this one was different, involving a momentary failure of a backup system. That's what they're saying this morning. So just wanted to update you on that one. I know Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy has been speaking out about that, as well as Schumer. We got it all. There's so much locally, nationally. Kitchen Magic, our sponsor, looking to remodel your kitchen at Kitchen Magic. Their products are made right in Nazareth, PA. So tariff delays will not impact you, obviously. They're family-owned and operated, American-made, right here in the USA. And this month only, in May, save up to 30%. 30%! Visit KitchenMagic.com today. I know Nick will have the forecast, but real quick, I will tell you we have some great news with our Phils. Kyle Schwarber homering twice.
Sunday night baseball.
Right?
Yeah.
Very exciting. As we beat the Guardians, it's still weird to say the Cleveland Guardians, but yeah, 3-0 Sunday night.
I will always call them the Indians, and I hope that's the next thing Trump fixes. Bring back the Indians and the Redskins and all the Native American names that the left canceled.
But the Phillies start a 3-game series tonight with the Cardinals, who are on a huge winning streak, too,
mm-hmm.
by the way.
I mean, Ruh-roh. Hopefully we bust
they won
that
like
up.
Nine in a row or something like that. So
Bills only a game and a half back of the Mets.
And the draft lottery tonight for the NBA.
Oh,
is that true, Nick?
Yeah, I think the Sixers will. We're going to restart the process, right?
Oh boy,
back in the lottery. 10 years later, here we are playing for ping pong balls. Awesome. Meanwhile, Phil's team's on the verge of beating the Celtics. I'm sitting here watching it. Awful. What a time to be alive. All right. Weather, Dawn?
And the Sepp Straka. By the way, Sepp Straka wins the Truist Championship.
Wow. Yeah.
Everybody, I was at the Flower Town, ran to the Acme last night, and they were like, oh, thank God it's over.
Yes.
A lot of traffic delays in and around Montgomery County and, you know, the cricket club there. So, but it was beautiful weather for it.
Yes,
for
it was. Georgia boy gets the victory. I think Philadelphia was hoping for a Rory McIlroy or a Justin Thomas. But if, you know, as always, we get the short end of the stick. We get Sepp Straka. Not sure that that's a needle mover on television ratings. Just a guess, but I watched it anyway because I'm a junkie.
Sepp Straka sounds like what the doctor diagnosed.
Yeah, that's the new variant. You got the Sepp Straka variant. But if you get the vaccine, Dawn, you're good.
Booster.
Yeah, the booster. The booster. We got the Straka booster.
I should have got the booster.
The booster.
So, is Nick doing the weather, or am I doing the weather?
I'll take the weather for you, dear. Yes, you've said enough.
Counting on you.
Philly weather, it's 57 degrees. We're going up to 81 today.
Yeah.
Another nice hot one. It's going to be sunny out, and then it'll dip down tonight to a low of 63, a chance of showers, about a 50% chance of rain this evening, and then we're going to have a stretch of showers throughout the week on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, but should be better just in time for the weekend. And weather brought to you by MTRuhl.com, your Generac generator experts. That's MTRuhl.com, MTRuhl.com. All right, coming back, it is a Monday big take, and then all of the other big stories from the weekend as we continue here on Kale and Company. But first, a word from our friends at Bucks County Estate Traders. If you're tired of the cheap, mass-produced junk, let me tell you about Bucks County Estate Traders. Their massive Hatfield showroom has over 16,000 pieces of high-end furniture. Brands like Stickley, Baker, and Henrodon, the kind of quality craftsmanship that has withstood the test of time. And you could save thousands compared to new retail prices. No matter your style, classic, modern, rustic, or traditional, you'll find stunning pieces that fit today's homes. Whether you're furnishing your living room, your dining room, your home office, or even that man cave, Bucks County Estate Traders, they have it all. And unlike the big box stores, if you see something you love, you can take it home the same day. Every piece with a QR code which displays details instantly, and their expert staff is the best in the business. No pushy salespeople, just straight shooters who know their stuff. Check out their website, call ahead, visit BucksCountyEstateTraders.com, or stop by their showroom in Hatfield and tell them Nick Kale sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Monday, Big Take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Which is brought to you by American Heritage Credit Union, ICE, Immigration, and Infuriation. ICE is under attack and the Democrat Party should be ashamed of themselves, as should anybody who does not condemn this other world insanity. On Friday, after Kale and Company ended, Delaney Hall, which is an immigration detention center in Newark, New Jersey, came under attack from elected Democrats while a bus loaded with illegal aliens was arriving for a drop-off. According to News 12 in New Jersey, Newark Mayor Ross Baraka was arrested at the Delaney Hall Immigration Center after a confrontation with ICE agents. Members of Congress were there for a scheduled visit before things got physical after Baraka gained entry through a gate. Here is the mayor being handcuffed and escorted away. Listen and watch. I believe it was Democrats who once famously said, quote, nobody is above the law. Not even Democrats, who allowed 15 million illegals to flood America the last 4 years. If you F around, you will find out with ICE, as well as this administration, and the mayor of Newark, New Jersey just did. Also in attendance was Representative LaMonica McIver. Here is LaMonica shouting in the faces of ICE agents as she tries to challenged Jasmine Crockett for perhaps the dumbest Democrat in Congress. Listen and watch this. This is the United States of America, folks. Newark's elected officials, they might actually be worse than their godforsaken airport. Elena Haba and Tom Homan not standing for it. Haba, the newly appointed U.S. attorney for the District of New Jersey, said the following, quote, "The mayor of Newark, Ross Baraka, committed trespass and ignored multiple warnings from Homeland Security investigations to remove himself from the ICE detention center in Newark, New Jersey this afternoon. He was willingly chosen and has decided to disregard the law. That will not stand in this state. He has been taken into custody. No one is above the law." Tom Homan, the border czar, said this on Fox News Friday evening after the embarrassing altercation in Newark. Listen and watch.
The proper way to conduct oversight, there's a way to make appointments, go in this facility. You don't break into a facility when a bus full of criminals are being, brought into that facility. This is about the safety and security of the employees. This is about the safety and security of the illegal aliens. And it's about the safety and security of the public. You just don't make an entry like that. You don't make an unauthorized entry while they're moving a bus of criminals in the facility. There's a right way and wrong way to do it. Now, look, I've said from day one, you cannot support ICE. You can go ahead and support sanctuary cities, but you can't cross that line. You can't cross the line of impediment. You can't cross the line of knowingly harboring, concealing, illegal alien. You certainly can't trespass in a facility that's contracted by the U.S. government to house criminals. That'd be like breaking into, state prison, not going through the proper protocols. This creates a huge safety crisis, and these elected politicians know that. This isn't about due process. This isn't about constitutional rights. This is about politics. They simply don't want these people removed from this country. They don't want immigration enforcement in this country. And that's what it's all about. They can try to hide it all they want with these protests around the facility, but we're going to continue to do what we're doing. That facility's got some of the worst. We're keeping President Trump's promise to American people that elected him for the sole reason of securing the border and removing these public safety threats from the communities. That's exactly what they're going to do. They can stand out and scream all they want. They can trespass. They'll be arrested. If they impede, they'll be arrested. If they knowingly harbor and conceal, they'll be arrested. We're going to do this job for the American people.
It's all a show, folks. This is a production being put on by Democrats. They don't care about the due process. They don't care about you. They want you replaced. They want new voters. They fought hard to get 15 million of them the last 4 years. You think they were just going to roll over and play dead now? No way. So the agenda is clear, but their identity remains a mystery, at least an identity that can lead to winning elections. Because right now, the Democrat Party stands for a few things. Men playing in women's sports, fighting tooth and nail for illegal aliens who are cartel members, perhaps, drug dealers, gang members, wife beaters, and or child abusers, and fighting for Palestinians and their jihad against Jews, America, the West, and capitalism. And it's not so much about hating Trump, but believe me, it is about hating Trump. It's bigger than that. It's about hating the United States of America. Bill Maher revealed this data about his own party on Friday night on HBO. Listen and watch this.
Seriously, this is a serious problem for Democrats. Less than 1 in 4 Democrats under 30 say they're proud to be an American. 54% say they're embarrassed by it. Embarrassed? Like America's your mom picking you up at school? You're embarrassed to be an American? Well, guess what? The feeling's mutual. Because you have no perspective. Is America perfect? No, of course not. No country is. Although, don't get Tucker Carlson started on Russia.
As I always say, if you hate America, leave. It's a free country. You're not obligated to stay here or required to remain here. As if the illegal immigration wasn't bad enough, I actually think the anti-Semitism might be worse. At least illegals want to come here and be here. And I'll leave it at that. The pro-Palestinian protesters, they hate America and they want to see it burn. Bill Maher said this Friday night about the hate against Jews. Listen and watch.
Globalize the intifada is the catchphrase that's really catching on these days, as if worldwide suicide bombing and cosplaying Islamic revolutionaries is the answer to our problems. At an AOC Bernie Sanders rally in Idaho last month, someone threw a Palestinian flag over an American flag, and the crowd erupted in approval. What should have happened after that is one of the adults on stage should have told their young loyal followers, this is not a symbol of freedom. This is.
It is a perfect case study on perspective. Let me take you to Hollywood actress, fantastic actress, by the way, in my opinion, Maggie Gyllenhaal. Her daughter attends Columbia University. Shocking, I know. And guess what? She was just arrested last week for protesting against the Jews on campus on behalf of the pro-Palestinian protesters. So, little miss entitled Snippy Shorts, you can sit your you-know-what down, because as Bill Maher said, you have no perspective. And I say you have no frame of reference on history. And when I mentioned earlier how the Democrats don't have a winning identity, but merely a losing radical identity, I was referring to people like David Hogg, the new vice chair of the DNC. He's not the answer for the Democrats. He's not the future, and he's not the solution. But his message on why the left has failed is 100% spot on. Here was his take with Bill Maher on HBO. Listen and watch.
Right now, what I think happened last election is younger men, they would rather vote for somebody who feels, who even if they don't completely agree with, they don't feel judged by, than somebody who they do agree with, that they feel like they have to walk on eggshells around constantly because they're going to be judged or ostracized or excommunicated. And what's interesting about this moment is it feels like the two parties in some senses have flipped, where, you know, Republicans used to be the judgmental in many ways. And since many Democrats, despite us, I would say for most of us, coming from the right place of wanting to do the right thing, we've created a culture where we say, well, if you say the wrong thing, you're excommunicated. And that's just not how human beings work. Nobody is perfect. But ultimately, what we have to do here is figure out how to bring people back in and work towards the bigger goal of advancing the future of this country and helping young people especially get by so that they're able to focus on their lives and, you know, getting with a young woman or something like that instead of how are they going to pay their rent, for example, or how are they working their two jobs. Young people should be able to focus on what young people should be focused on, which is how to get laid and how to go and have fun.
David Hogg doesn't exude sex symbol to me or a bastion of fun, but his message is not wrong. The Democrats have become a judgmental, obnoxious, detached party of elitist D-bags, and the data shows it. Men, especially young men, they want no part of that platform. And we're now 6 months removed from the election. I'm actually in sheer and utter amazement over the causes that Democrats are championing, and even going as far as attacking ICE agents who are merely trying to protect American citizens and carry out the number one issue from the 2024 election. Imagine voting for that party. I don't know how anyone does. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company,
which is brought to you by American Heritage Credit Union. You can earn up to 3% unlimited cash back with an American Heritage Cash Reward MasterCard on essential items such as groceries, gas, pharmacies, and home improvement stores. Visit AmericanHeritageCU.org/cashback. Insured by NCUA, not a member joint today. Equal opportunity lender. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in on social media at 1210 WPHT. And of course, let your comments be seen and heard on the YouTube chat. Just go to youtube.com/at1210WPHT and hit the like and subscribe buttons while you are there. Dawn, I don't know if you were seeing those videos of the ICE agents that were under attack by Democrats and protesters in Newark on Friday, but I don't know, kind of looked like an insurrection to me.
It's amazing, isn't it, that these individuals think they can get away with this. And you look at what I noticed was how tolerant those agents were, law enforcement officers, that you have people, and it wasn't just in Newark. It was, you know, across the country, these different arrests. People are coming up with their, you know, shoving their phone in somebody's face, getting up in their face, walking up to their vehicle. And generally speaking, I will say, as a news reporter, let's say on the scene of something, if you're charging law enforcement or you're aggressive toward them, that's a no-no. in general.
Sure.
These agents, these federal agents, just shows you their training and their tolerance as people were up in their face and were threatening them in, just by their physicality. That's a huge no-no. That's reason for arrest. The fact that they were showing such tolerance was incredible to me. But they know the deal. They know that this is political. They know that. And you, if you think about somebody, what's really sick as far as somebody running for governor in New Jersey and you pimping everybody, pimping the media, pimping citizens for what? A photo op? I don't think it was a good look.
I don't either. And you know, being aware of the climate, you talk about the alert nature of the ICE agents. Now, I don't know if this applies to ICE agents, but you know, we do live in this post defund the police era of society where, you know, if you're in law enforcement in any capacity, you basically have to wait until you're shot at for you to, you know, flex your muscle on people that are breaking the law because of people with smartphones that want to record everything. You know, these lawyers out there, the ambulance chasers, if you will, in law that are looking for the next George Floyd, Rodney King, whoever it might be. Oh, my client had his civil rights violated. I don't know what the training is to be an ICE agent. I can only base it off of some of the pictures I've seen. These dudes look like badasses. I mean, these guys look like they could go into the Marines right now and serve our country. You saw the guy that was standing next to Kristi Noem when Kristi Noem had the gun pointed at his head. Mm-hmm. I would not want to mess with that guy. I've seen what Ross Baraka looks like. I've seen what LaMonica McIver looks like. If those ICE agents wanted to just throw those dopes down to the floor and cuff them and make them suck a little pavement, they could have done that.
They didn't. But they didn't. That's it, the restraint. And also credit to Alina Haba, you know, immediately saying no one's above the law. And, you know, we don't care who it is, if it's a mayor, if it's a citizen. Ross Baraka committed trespass. Ignore the law. You're going to get arrested. Boom.
Mm-hmm. I agree. 855-839-1210, the number. So the news that we mentioned in Dawn's news, and this came out yesterday, was the fact that Trump had said there is going to be specific details announced today of a trade agreement between the United States and China. We are still expecting that press conference to happen at some point, I would assume early this morning, if I had to guess, somewhere between 8 and 10 a.m. But Axios apparently has some details that have been, I don't know, either reported on or intentionally leaked out by the Trump administration to get this stuff floated in the cycle. But they are slashing, and this is the United States and China, slashing tariffs for 90 days. That according to Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent. And I'm reading this from the first source I saw was Axios. They say why it matters. It's the relief that global businesses and investors hoped for after the trade war brought commerce to a near halt and sent economies hurtling toward recession. How it works? Well, here's the details. The U.S. will lower tariffs to 30% during this three-month pause, while China will cut its tariffs to 10%, Bessent said following a weekend of high-level talks in Switzerland. Both sides have agreed to a 115% cut. Remember, the United States was tariffing China at 145%. China was tariffing the United States at 125%. They have both reduced each side 115% down to a respective 30 and 10%. Although Axios writes though the U.S. rate was higher to begin with. Bessent told reporters in Geneva, quote, we had very robust discussions. Both sides showed great respect to what was a very positive process. A joint statement issued by the world's two largest economies indicate that they intend to continue talks during this period. Stocks soared with the S&P Future 500 up more than 3% based on the news. So let's look at this now from the economy, right? Because the two biggest issues in this election were illegal immigration and the economy. Border is completely sealed off. The last little nugget to drop is the resistance that the Democrats are putting up against Trump and, you know, ICE and the whole deportation process and a lot of what you just saw in Newark, New Jersey on Friday at the Delaney Hall Detention Center. Now you get to the economy. Late last week, we had the UK tariff deal with the United States. Now it looks like we have some framework agreed upon. We'll get further details later today. And then, of course, Trump is going to the Middle East tomorrow And we're going to have a Putin-Zelensky face-to-face meeting this Thursday. And if you were paying attention to anything on Truth Social yesterday from Trump's Truth feed, we are not only expecting more tariff deals, but we could have more peace deals. And that also includes India and Pakistan, which probably got lost in the news cycle on Saturday of Mother's Day weekend. You know, I know we're not at the finish line with everything just so just yet, Dawn, but so far, is there a category that Trump campaigned on that he has not at least addressed, started the ball rolling, or has almost reached the finish line? I mean, we're not even 5 months in yet, and the things that continued to fester in the Biden administration are being tackled head on. It makes you almost wonder, was the last 4 years an intentional disaster to just ruin everything? Because I know we're not there yet. The finish line hasn't been reached. But the China thing, I went out on record on this show. I said, I think we'll have a deal by the end of the summer. I said, as far as Russia, Ukraine, and the Middle East, I think we'll have deals by the end of the spring. A lot of these things could be, the framework could be finalized by the time we come in here Friday morning.
Yeah, but I think that because, think about the news cycle and how reactionary we are. So, you know, Trump is already moving on. He's putting out on True Social that 9 o'clock this morning, he's signing executive orders, lowering pharmaceutical prices. And so it's almost like he is hard to keep up with every news cycle. And so when you see the China deal, whether or not it's physically all the details are worked out, in the American people's minds, it's a done deal already. And that's why we're seeing the stock market just surging like a rocket
right
this morning.
Good news leads to a spike on the stocks.
Because everything is based on perception.
Correct.
And so the perception is
optimism or fear.
Boom. Check. We got that done. Check. We got the Chinese imports. We got the trade deal. We're good to go. Scott Bessent was in Switzerland. And as we promised, we're done with that.
I mean, was anybody expecting this to drop yesterday on Mother's Day? I mean, I tried to stay off of social media for most of the day. We had a nice brunch and a dinner that was scheduled at a couple of local restaurants. And I look on my phone and I see that, you know, he's talking about a China deal. I'm like, this is great. I just, you know, I wasn't expecting anybody to get anything notable accomplished, you know, on Mother's Day weekend. Trump was like, you know what? Do I hang out with Melania or do I get a trade deal done with China? The hell with Melania, he said.
Well, no, I think it's the best Mother's Day gift that anyone could ask for. I mean, essentially what they're saying is that we are going to get a better deal for the United States of America. And that has been the goal. Everybody said he could never get this done. These trade deals, these tariff deals, they're very complex. They take years. And so they pushed for this. And it was a gamble. It's a political gamble. But the fact that they could have this major progress and they're going to announce more this morning. But I just think in everybody's minds now they've succeeded. And so now they'll work out the deals and the details of the deal. But essentially now they move on to the net. Now it's pharmaceutical, you know, now it's the pharmaceuticals. Now we're going to lower those prices. Mm-hmm. Then it'll be transportation, whatever that is. And so they're moving so quickly. I think that has been the art of this, is to move so quickly that it's hard to keep up with them.
Yeah, well, I mean, Steve Bannon said it. Flood the zone.
Yep.
Flood the zone. 855-839-1210. We'll see what that number ultimately looks like at the end of these 90 days. I don't think it will be 10%, but I did see, I think it was 3 or 4 days ago, Trump said something on X to the effect of he thinks the right number is probably 70 to 80%. Although that will ultimately be decided by Scott Bessent. So definitely a decline for the next 3 months. And then even if it's 70 or 80%, well, that's certainly lower than the number that China had put against us before these trade wars started. 855-839-1210. We put a bow on the 6 o'clock hour next. It's Kale and Company, Nick, Dawn, and Greg here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Trump supporters that were publicly putting signs up in their yard that they were backing Trump and Vance. And remember how they were on the receiving end of these threatening anonymous letters Well, it's back in the news again. Stocker found this in his show email prep last night. This is from the Inquirer a few days ago. What's today's date, by the way? The 12th. So this would have been either Thursday or Friday. The headline, two Trump voters in, and I'm going to butcher this. I've never even heard of this area. Is it Tredeffrin?
Tredeffrin.
All right, I got it right. How about that? Tredeffrin and Lower Merion seek sources of anonymous threats. Remember, Donald Trump campaigned in Oaks in October of 2024, and two suburban Trump supporters are suing John Doe's for threatening letters they received during the heated campaign, except they just don't know who exactly they are suing. I've never heard of a story like this. This is wild. Robert Butwin, by the way, great last name, Robert Butwin, of Tredeffrin Township, and Janet Schmidt of Lower Merion, both supporters of Trump, who put Trump lawn signs outside of their houses last year, filed a lawsuit this month against John Doe's, who mailed them letters promising consequences for their vote and ominously declaring, quote, "We know where you live." I think we actually had the graphic months ago. We put it up on YouTube of one of the letters, and I believe they were identical to everybody that received one. I think it was the same exact letter with the same exact verbiage and wording. But the Public Interest Legal Foundation, a conservative law firm, is representing the voters in an effort to use civil courts to track down the source of the threats. In addition to the suit, the firm is offering a $2,000 reward for any information leading to the identity of the people who sent the letters, saying, quote, "The stakes are too high to do nothing. When voters get death threats, there has to be a response by civil society that this is an unacceptable behavior." So if anybody was on the receiving end of this, and I think we might have actually had a few calls.
We did, and people emailed in.
And emails, yes.
Yeah, I've been covering this. I started with like early May, May 1st, May 2nd.
Okay.
I interviewed the attorney, one of the attorneys representing the Jane and John Doe's with the Public Interest Legal Foundation. But this is an ongoing lawsuit.
Yes.
That is happening.
So the public interest.
This is courtesy our friend Linda Kearns.
Okay. Public Interest Legal Foundation, for those that might have been on the receiving end that were unaware that there is hopefully some justice that is being sought here. If you, I guess, want to join in on the suit, don't know how that works, but just passing along a message for everybody out there. Now, Dawn, you've covered stuff for so many years. Have you ever heard of a story like this where you're filing a suit, except you don't know who it's against? Which in the story in the Inquirer, it talks about how police, if the investigation is ongoing and still active, they can have access to the documents that police have unearthed to help your pursuit of justice. But I've never heard of anything like this.
Part of what this does, the $2,000 reward, the fact that they're putting this on the record in the courts, is that the attorneys. What's shocking here is that this was seemingly not properly investigated. In other words, you had death threats. What could happen to you? Even your cat, your pets might get shot. I mean, these were serious death threats against people only because they had a Trump lawn sign, and the threat of some kind of a database of these individuals. And the fact that the attorneys, because they're able to go to the court and then get full disclosure on everything, they've realized that this really went nowhere. It was not investigated as a serious threat.
I never heard anything of it again after the election.
Unacceptable.
Yeah, I agree. They write in the Inquirer column, Adams said the firm will use open records to obtain investigative files from police agencies that have looked into the threats. If the investigations are still open, the documents will not be subject to public record law. But Adams said the requests will allow the firm to pick up the investigations if law enforcement has abandoned them. However, it is not uncommon for law enforcement agencies to leave cases open even after investigations have stalled.
But the bottom line on this, and that was what the president, one of the legal counsel representing here, J. Christian Adams, one of the things that he said was that these were Trump supporters in Pennsylvania. They were threatened. These were death threats. And state officials made zero arrests.
Yeah.
And in fact, what Mr. Adams said was really, these individuals were, this investigation was not followed through on, and that's what's not acceptable. And he went on to say that if these were Democrats, can you only imagine
Oh, sure.
what would have happened. It would have been A, in the headlines, so the media would have covered it.
Yep.
But then following that, you know, think about the double standard. Imagine somebody says, you know, you're and even whether it's you as a dad, Nick, you go to work and now your wife and girls and your dog, you know, and you're just worried sick about your family. So to have these death threats hanging out there, the fact that they were not investigated fully.
Right. No ring doorbell cams in any of the neighborhoods. No fingerprints. No nothing. I mean, those are just two methods of tracking people down. I just rattled off the top of my head. I mean, I don't know. Maybe there was no evidence. Who knows? 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. We'll come back. Kickoff hour number two. Dawn's got some news. And then the Fetterman onslaught is in full force. It started with New York Magazine, then it was the AP, and after we signed off on Friday, here came Axios, here comes Politico, NBC News, The Atlantic. Should I keep going? We'll get to that as we continue. And also, SNL mocking Pete Hegseth, Judge Jeanine, and the Pope. Hour two on the way. Stay right there.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.